But just as people are getting to their seats, let me say a very warm welcome to you here this evening. This is our annual Oak Hall Church Carols by Candlelight service. I've just got a few notices, a few sort of housekeeping rules to lay down. First is that this carol service is about us singing and praising to God. So please sing loudly. If you don't feel as though you have a good voice, well, that's why the people in the orchestra are sitting there and not here. It's because they're better at playing instruments. So, work with me. I rest my case. This is a joyful occasion. Please join with us. Just sing as wonderfully as you can. Also, if you can turn your mobile phone off, that would be really fantastic. It might be that you've got little people with you. Please don't feel as though they're making a massive noise. Everybody's got little people, and everybody's little people are making noise. So don't feel as though yours are particularly evil. Mine are worse. So honestly, don't panic about little children making a noise. The other thing is, very practically, there are loos through the foyer to the right. If you need the loo, just follow that door through. There's a little corridor around the back there. You'll see the toilets on the left as you go through that corridor. Just ask someone at the door where the loos are if you need it. And the other thing is just to say, on your chairs is a John's Gospel, a little bit of a leaflet that explains it. We absolutely love the Bible. That's an extract from the Bible. It's basically a biography of the person of Jesus, the person we're celebrating here this evening. That's our gift to you. Please do take it, and even more than that, we'd love it if you could read that over the coming weeks, months even, and just work out for yourself who the person of Jesus is. We're going to begin our carol service now. I hope you really enjoy yourselves. Take your coat off if you feel a bit warm. Put it on if you feel a bit cold. Relax and join with us as we celebrate this great, great event, the birth of Christ to our world. I'll hand over to Karen and the choir.
first reading comes from John's biography of Jesus. John starts by giving us an overview of God's work in this world in history. Starting from the beginning, John tells us something about the Word, meaning Jesus, who will be a light. By light, he means someone who will reveal God to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's stand and sing Joy to the World.
Reading is from Genesis 3, 8 to 15. Our second reading comes from the beginning of the Bible, just after Adam and Eve had disobeyed God. The consequence of their disobedience was to bring sin into the world. But God promises them that one day he would give a snake crusher, a man who would defeat the devil and death and restore humankind to a relationship with God. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." We're now going to sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Our third reading is about an ancestor of Jesus called Abraham.
Abraham believed in God, and God blessed him, saying that the promised snake crusher would be one of his descendants. These descendants would also one day be a blessing to all people in the world. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, your whole nation on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. Our next carol is O Holy Night, and the first verse will be sung by the choir.
Yeah. reading is from Isaiah 9, verse 2, and then 6 and 7. 700 years before Jesus and about 1,000 years after Abraham, a prophet called Isaiah, who wrote about the coming of the Messiah, a man whom God would send to fulfill his promise to Abraham, Adam, and Eve. Isaiah also talked about the light, the one who came to show us who God is. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's sing the Calypso Carol together. The children will start us off by singing the first verse.
Reading comes from Luke's account of Jesus' life in Luke 1:26-38. 700 years after Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah, Luke tells the story as it happened. He records the accounts of the virgin birth, which at the time would have been a big scandal. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus.
He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word come from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. I would like to invite Phil Vellacourt to come and give us the address.
Me again. Can I just say, it's been wonderful to be part of this evening. You guys are singing particularly wonderfully, can I say. You're not, but we can forgive you. You are, yes, and thank you. Can we just say a really warm thank you to all of the volunteers in the choir, in the orchestra, AV, with the lighting, with everything. Can we just show our appreciation for all that they've given here this evening? Well, I heard of a couple who were expecting their second baby over Christmas. They also had a younger daughter. And as the time came for the new baby to be born, the mum took the opportunity to explain to her little girl what was about to happen. So she took her daughter aside and said to her, darling, in a little while, you're going to have a little brother for Christmas. It's going to take a bit of time. There will be quite a lot of pain for me, but when mummy gets back from the hospital, I'll be able to bring home a little brother for you at Christmas. And sure enough, that's what happened. That Christmas Eve, mum went into labour, and their baby boy was born on Christmas Day. And much to the delight of the little girl, mum had given her a baby brother for Christmas. It was fantastic. So a year went by. The brother grew older, and it came around to Christmas again. And the mum decided to ask her little girl what she'd like for Christmas this year. And the little girl turned to her mum and said, well, mummy, if it doesn't take too much time, and if it's not too painful, could I have a pony this Christmas? Well, I don't know about what your expectations are this Christmas. The little girl in that story had clearly had some big hopes about what her mum could give her. But maybe this Christmas your hopes for a present go beyond socks or a Christmas jumper. Maybe your plans are bigger or better or grander or more exciting. You might be hoping for a promotion or that someone you love would pop the question. It might be that you're hoping to retire or changing your role at work. Well, 2,000 years ago, a young girl called Mary had some big hopes about God's plans for the world. The time was 5 BC, and she was a faithful Jewish girl in occupied Israel. You see, Mary and all the Jewish people were praying that God would send them a savior, someone who would deal with all the problems in the world that they faced. But she had no idea how God was going to answer that prayer. So imagine how she felt at the start of what we've just read. When she was happily planning her wedding to her soon-to-be husband, Joseph, and an angel appears to her and says, do not be afraid, for you have found favour with God. Well, it's quite obvious that the angel leads with, do not be afraid, because that's exactly what Mary probably was, having seen the angel. But then the next thing he says is this, you have found favour with God. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? She's just an ordinary little girl, living in a sleepy backwater of her country. But she's told that in heaven, she is well known and well loved. And then she's told, this is the bombshell, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Now, I'm not wanting to put too fine a point on it, but the link between God's favour and the virgin birth, children outside marriage, must have not been the most obvious thing Mary was thinking of. You see, in Mary's culture, pregnancy outside marriage was seen as adultery, and adulterers in her culture were stoned to death. God's favour must have felt anything like God's favour must have felt like anything but good news for Mary. A baby out of marriage would have been the last thing that she would have wanted. And yet I want us to see this evening how this totally unexpected gift turns out to be the greatest answer from God to all her hopes and dreams and longings. Not just for her, but for you and me too. Because the first thing we're told is that God gives this world his impossible gift. God gives us the impossible gift. That's the first thing I'd really like you to take away this evening. We're accustomed to the story of women giving birth, aren't we? Many of us will have given birth ourselves or witnessed the birth of our children. But virgins don't give birth. Which is why, as the angel drops this bombshell, Mary, who has clearly been paying attention in her PHSE classes, interrupts and she says, hang on a second. Verse 34, she says, how can this be since I am a virgin? Now, before I go any further, I'm going to give you a clue about how to read the biographies of Jesus, the John's Gospel that you have on your chairs. To get the reality of these stories, you need to look at the people's reactions to what's going on. That's how you read them. So don't just read the story and the storyline. Read people's reactions. Because what you get are real reactions. And that's what you see with Mary here. She's not this gullible little girl who didn't know how babies are made and was easily taken in by fantastical stories. No, we're told she reacts just like you and I would react if we were told we're pregnant, particularly if you're a bloke here. But look at how the angel answers Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. That's what the angel says. And that should be encouraging for everyone here, I hope. That God listens to questions. God answers our doubts. Do you see it? There's not a hint of a rebuke from the angel here. The angel doesn't say, oh, for pity's sake, girl, pull yourself together. What's the problem with a virgin birth? No, the angel of God and the Bible agree that virgin births are impossible. They can't happen. They don't happen. But it was happening because the God who made the rules of science, who made things the way they are, was stepping in. He was overriding the laws that he had set up, and he was doing something impossible. And the impossible thing is this. God was coming to the world in person, a gift from God. So when you look at the person of Jesus, this is what you see. You don't just see a prophet. You don't just see a good man, you see God. Yeah, another gospel writer begins his gospel, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the reason why he starts off with that is simply this. He's saying, guys, all your guessing games about God are over because God has stepped in. The impossible has happened. God is here and he will deal with this world. And that brings us to the second thing that this passage tells us, which is this. God's gift is exactly what we need. God's gift is exactly what we need. So God gives us a necessary gift. A couple of years ago, the Swedish footballer Zlatan Ibrahimovic was asked by a reporter at a news conference, what are you getting your wife for Christmas, Zlatan? And he looked a bit confused before saying, nothing. She already has Zlatan. What more would she want? It's a clever cop-out for not knowing what to get your wife. But unlike Zlatan, God knows us inside out.
And rather than giving us what we want or what we think we need, God gives us exactly what we actually need. Let me read to you once again what the angel tells Mary about the baby she was to bring into the world. The angel says this: "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." As I've said, the boy to be born was God in human flesh. So God's presence to the world is God himself. Only God is not an overpaid footballer. This baby boy grew up to be a man who could heal the sick, calm storms, drive away evil, forgive sins, and even raise the dead. Every eyewitness account of his life shows him to be the kindest, most loving person ever to walk the planet. People who met him said he spoke the truth of life like nobody else, and with that kind of authority. Do you want to know him? And why has he come? He came to show us who God is. A light to the world. That's what he talks about right through John's gospel on your seats. He says, "I am the light of the world. I'm the person come into the world to reveal to us who God is." But the angel also says to Mary, "You shall call his name Jesus." And the name Jesus means God saves. And it means, therefore, that he's come into this world to save us. And if he's come to save us, it means there's something we need to be saved from, doesn't it? The Bible tells us that God sent his Son to save us from our sins. Sin is a word the Bible uses that simply means our rejection of God's rule over us. And the way we basically try to run our lives for our own purposes and without God. Sin is what is at the root of all the suffering in the world. Our suffering and the suffering of others. Sin is what causes pain. And it's what God sent Jesus to save us from. How does he do that? Well, Jesus was born to die. The only person in the world ever born to die. Right through the record of his life, he kept telling his followers that he would die. That he would be rejected. And that he would take the penalty for our sin on himself as he died. One passage in the Bible explains it like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." You see, Jesus was killed. He did suffer for our sin. But he rose again to show us the power of his claim to be God's necessary gift to the world. Now, I don't know what you make of that. You can say, well, it's just a bit of fun, really, isn't it? Virgin birth, angels, God. It's all a fairy tale. You might be saying, well, no, it's just insulting. It's insulting to say that I've got to be saved by Jesus in order to have eternal life. But if it's true, then it is as the angel says to Mary, this is God's favor. The very best news of all time. Because if this is true, it means that God has actually broken into our world. And he has actually come with truth and justice and mercy and forgiveness. He's not just a fairy tale. And he's come to rescue us, because whether we realize it or not, that's what we need most. God's necessary gift. And the way we receive him, God's gift, is as one of the passages we read earlier said, the very first one, it said, "To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right." It's a legal term, the right to be children of God. We need just to accept Jesus' offer of salvation. And let me finish with a story about an experiment conducted by the Evening Standard newspaper. Well, they got a man to stand outside Oxford Circus Station in London, offering people a leaflet. On the leaflet was the free offer of a £5 note for just bringing the leaflet back to the man. Hordes of people passed him by, many taking the leaflet and just binning it. In 3 hours, only 11 people came back for their £5 note. You see, people assumed that they knew what he was handing out, and they thought that it would do them no good, so they didn't bother to take it or read it. It may be in Christmas's past, you've taken the message of Christmas and binned it without really looking at it. Well, can I challenge you this Christmas to take the time to look at God's impossible but necessary gift? That's why we've given you a John's Gospel. And I just ask you to read it. Inside is an invitation to our Christianity Explored course. That's a wonderful course. I run it. Don't let that scare you. It's a great course where we just read through Mark's account of Jesus' last 3 years of his life. And you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And it's an opportunity to make up your own mind, to take 6 weeks, that's all it is, Monday evenings, just to take time for yourself to investigate the person of Jesus. We think he's utterly stunning. And can I encourage you, therefore, to either read John's Gospel or get in touch with the church office and book your place on the course. There are only a few places, but I'm sure we could make space if you want to come. That's our invitation. It's our joyful invitation, because God has given us his great gift, his necessary gift at Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came born of a virgin, born to die, born that you and I, in believing in him, might have eternal life. We're going to sing a carol now. It's a fairly modern carol, a bit of a rip-roarer, actually, that talks of Jesus as the glorious light. And remember, as we sing this, what we're talking about as Jesus being the glorious light is that he is the one who reveals God to us. So let's just stand together as the music begins, and we'll sing this with great song. Thank you.
Our sixth reading is again from the prophecy of Isaiah about Jesus. Here he has a vision that describes the kind of kingdom that Jesus will rule over. And just by way of explanation, when he talks about the stump of Jesse, it is another way of talking about Jesus' ancestors who had fallen on hard times. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist.
Brilliant. Well, shall we pray? Father in heaven, we praise you this evening for this time together. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort and peace. And so, Father, we pray for those around the world who at this time are suffering and distressed. Lord, we pray that you will bring hope into those lives. For where there is conflict and war, Lord, we pray that you will bring peace. But, Father, we thank you and we praise you most for the Lord Jesus, whose birth we celebrate and remember at this time. We thank you that he is our Saviour, and that through what he has done, we can have peace with you, our God. Father, would this news of your Son Jesus fill us with joy this Christmas? May we delight in the Saviour who has been born to us, and may we continually and eternally sing your praise. And so, Father, we thank you that you never change, that you are rich in love and so faithful to us. And we ask that we would see afresh this awesome and glorious news of the Lord Jesus. And we praise you in his name. Amen. Well, the choir will now sing, "For unto us a child is born."
Of your glory, pour out your Our seventh reading this evening tells us of the joy of the angels and shepherds as they announce the birth of Jesus, the one promised by God so long ago. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's stand and sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Hark the Herald Angels Sing. This next reading is Luke 2, verse 1 to 6. In modern Western society, the story of Jesus' birth is sometimes considered to be a fairy tale. But fairy tales don't go to great lengths to convince us of history. Here, Luke is careful to record times and dates. He wants us to see a saviour who comes into history so that we might know God for ourselves. Our penultimate reading comes from the second chapter of Luke's biography. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. The choir will now sing, "His Name Shall Be."
Yeah. The last reading for this evening is from Matthew's account of Jesus' life, and it tells us about the wise men who travelled from foreign countries to come and see Jesus. And it's the first time that we see the fulfilment of some of the things we heard earlier today, some of the things that God promised to Abraham thousands of years before Jesus was born. And that was that all nations will be blessed by him. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We're going to stand to sing our final carol in a second, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." After which time the choir is going to sing a couple of songs. Now, I've been assured that they will not be annoyed if you stand up and go and get yourself a mince pie or a drink. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, they're nodding. That's good. Okay, so please do go and help yourself to some food and a drink afterwards. And the choir will sing afterwards. But we just want to thank you all for coming. And we really do hope that you enjoy the greatest gift possible this Christmas, the gift of Jesus.
Come, O ye faithful. Jesus, no crying. Lead me to God, O Lord.